I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
If you're a firearms enthusiast like I am, or you have one in your life, let me tell you about the industry's best-kept secret, Bear Creek Arsenal. This is a veteran-owned and operated gun manufacturer, Bear Creek Arsenal, that is, based in Sanford, North Carolina. They make high-quality firearms at an incredible value. Learn more about Bear Creek Arsenal at BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. Use promo code BUCK to get 10% off your first order. One more time, BearCreekArsenal.com/buck and promo code BUCK to get 10% off your first order.
This is 24, a weekly highlight reel from the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, featuring all things election coverage. Let's get started. Here are Clay and Buck.
We're just talking about that NBC News report on Marco Rubio. Following up on it a little bit, Buck, here's what I think the VP choice will tell us. Where does Trump think that he has ground to make up? And or where can he put Biden potentially on the defensive? If he picks, like I said, a black guy, to me it would mean if he picks Tim Scott, if he picks Ben Carson, it will mean that he thinks, hey, there is ground to be made up among black men, and this is my sign that I'm really going after that group. If he picks Marco Rubio, I think it would be a sign, hey, there's a lot of Hispanic voters out there that I believe are in play. This will be the step that he's taking. And I think if he goes with a woman, whether it's Kristi Noem or Sarah Huckabee Sanders, or who's the third most likely person to be selected right now for VP in the gambling markets is, Buck?
I think you said Nikki Haley, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Number one right now is Tim Scott if in the gambling markets. Number two right now is Kristi Noem. Third place as we speak right now, Nikki Haley, third most likely to be selected for VP. Now, Marco Rubio has jumped up a little bit since this NBC News report, but I think it's worth paying attention. Some of these decisions could be dictated by the polling data that the Trump team has that they are reviewing. And I believe we have audio of this, Buck. There's a full-fledged panic going on associated with everything having to do with the Michigan polling data. All right. And so I want to play a couple of these because they talked about it on CNN. This is Harry Enten talking about the decline in support for Joe Biden in Michigan. And Buck, you and I were on the cutting edge of this because my wife's from Michigan. I know that state fairly well. I spend a decent amount of time there. Lots of Arab voters for Joe Biden. Lots of Jewish voters for Joe Biden. What happened on October 7th has created a true schism for him between those two identity groups. Here's Harry Enten talking about that.
What we see here is back in 2020, according to the exit poll, Joe Biden won voters of color in Michigan by 62 points. Look at that advantage today. It has been sliced by a third, only 21 points. That's Joe Biden's lead over Donald Trump among voters of color. Among white voters, Donald Trump has gained a little bit of steam as well. It was 11 points in 2020. His margin over Joe Biden right now is 16 points. But this decline in support for Joe Biden among voters of color in Michigan is something we've been seeing in state after state after state and nationally as well, where he's got some big problems. This is a historic low amount of support for a Democratic presidential candidate among voters of color, and it seems to be happening across the board.
Okay, Michigan, he's down 8. Also, the issue that Biden can't escape, immigration, Buck. Here is the polling data on immigration. Of everything out there, this is where Biden drowns. Listen.
In a Marquette University Law School poll that was put out last month, look at that advantage that Donald Trump has on immigration and border security. It's near 30 points. This is a tremendous change that's going on. And it's no wonder that Donald Trump is running on immigration. Voters at this particular point are quite concerned about immigration, and they trust Donald Trump on this particular issue.
And President Biden has been courting Latino voters in the Southwest. Where does he stand?
Yeah, so, you know, you might think, you know, that Hispanic voters might be the types of folks who would have a backlash against Donald Trump's remarks, right? Ain't the case. If you ask Hispanic voters, who do they trust more on border security and immigration? Overwhelmingly, they trust Donald Trump more by a tremendous margin. Look at that, 49% to 24%.
You buy it? Do you buy that Biden's this far underwater in Michigan? Because if he loses Michigan, Buck, he cannot be elected.
Pretty much
president
game over,
in
right?
2024. Yes.
Yeah, I think right now, yes. I mean, the election, as we know, is not now. So it's way, way too early. One of my mantras in life is never celebrate too early, because I just think it's
I like
it's
the high
bad.
Step.
Yeah, you don't want to high step into that end zone and get tackled at the 2-yard line. It's bad because I think you can jinx yourself. And even if you're not somebody who believes in that kind of stuff, the emotional damage you do to yourself when you celebrate, and then you know when you think you won the lottery because you didn't read off the last number, and then you find out, oh wait, that's really hard to handle. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. There's a ton of time, but yes, right now, look, Biden, it makes sense, right? There's nothing about this that I think we are missing. Remember, in 2022, a lot of the stuff that they were able to pull off was, well, Biden's not on the ballot, right? So they were able to shape the narrative for different races, some key races, in ways that unfortunately broke for Democrats. Biden's very much on the ballot this time, at least for now. And I think that on the immigration, the Michigan issue is really important. I want to dive into that. But on the immigration issue and why he's so far underwater, you have two things that make it really complicated. And there was that video of migrants massing at the border and rushing and getting violent with National Guard there, right? So just bursting through them, shoving them out of the way. Those kind of visuals stay with people. And that went viral just in the last 24 hours. The problem Biden has on immigration, Clay, is the numbers are just shocking. I mean, the number of illegals. Actually, it's really three things. The numbers are shocking. It'll be 8 million by the time he's actually running for president or running for reelection. Democrat cities are feeling the pain and have said so. So the number's really high. Democrats admit it's a problem. And then this is the key. Unlike some other things, Biden came in and explicitly said, you know what Trump was doing at the border? I'm going to stop that and do other things. He flipped the switch in the other direction. You know, he didn't do that on China trade. He didn't do that on some other things. On immigration, he did this. He decided to take the country in a dramatically different direction. We are paying the price, and they can't sort of massage around this one. It's too clear.
And look, I understand, and I don't get as many of these now. I don't know if you still do, Buck, people who say, the polls are all rigged. I don't believe any of the polls. Like, now that we've settled on Trump and Biden are going to run against each other, I do think it's worth looking at the overall picture out there. And in all of the swing states right now, Trump leads in all 7. And if you want to count North Carolina as a swing state, he leads there too. He only needs, of the 7 swing states, he only needs to win 3 or 4 of them, depending on the math. And again, I focus on Michigan, because if Trump wins Michigan, this race is over. He's going to be the president of the United States in 2024. Now, there are other states out there, obviously, that can be tipping point states as well. I mean, you could have Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, and some, sort of other permutations out there without necessarily having to get in the Midwest. But basically, the blue wall has to hold for Biden in the Midwest. Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, he has to win. If he loses any of the 3, he's in trouble. But if he loses Michigan, I think he's likely to also lose Michigan and Wisconsin. I think there's a strong correlation factor there. But what's unique about Michigan is this Arab Jewish coalition of voters that is abandoning him. It's really hard to play both sides. And this thing doesn't seem like it's going away, Buck. And remember, guys, correct me if I'm wrong on this. I think voting in the Midwest, this is going to sound crazy to you guys, starts in 5 months, like 5.5 months. So once the early voting starts, in other words, and I want as many of y'all out there voting early as can, you're chasing a diminishing number of voters. So whatever the snapshot is of where the race is, let's say in early October, that snapshot becomes a reality. Because polling is just a snapshot of a couple of days before, but you're banking huge numbers. Remember, John Fetterman had half of his vote in Pennsylvania before they even had that debate, Buck.
The best Democrat senator, by the way.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Our favorite Democrat senator.
I mean,
but
maybe.
Half of the vote. Think about how crazy that is before they even debated. They're going to try to do that. Don't make any mistake. To the extent that Biden is even willing to debate Trump, they want the Democrats do as much of their vote banked as they can so there's no fallout from that debate. But I do think one of the big stories was, okay, Biden had the entire stage to himself for the State of the Union. There was no immediate response by Trump, and Biden's numbers have at best stayed even, and they've ticked down some places. That means there was no bump. There was no like, oh, we saw Biden. We liked what he said in the State of the Union. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. There has yet to be a bump. You're going to get into April. You're going to get into May. People go on vacation. It's hard to move the needle in June and July and August. There's panics, I think, starting to set in the Biden White House. I really do.
Let's take some calls. And specifically, I'm curious if anyone out there loves the idea of Marco Rubio as VP. I'm a Floridian. Like I said, Rubio is a solid senator. There's no part of me that hears that and says that's crazy. I just hadn't heard him in the conversation before. Is this, though, just it could be as simple as NBC knows this will get a lot of attention, right? I don't know.
They cited six sources, so somebody may have floated that.
There's something, Clay, you need to know. It's called fake news, and they do it. The news can be fake. No, but they are going deep on this one for a news organization that needs to maintain whatever shreds of credibility.
The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
On this program, Clay and I are here to help you cut through the noise, the ulterior motives, to uncover the truths that no one else is going to tell you. That's what our colleague Mark Chaykin does, but for the U.S. stock market. Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years. Across those decades, he invented 3 new indices for the NASDAQ and has predicted some of the biggest market shifts of the past decade, including the recent mania in AI stocks. Mark says the majority of Americans are... Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. 1, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. 2, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And 3, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
It has left.
You're listening to 24, the year of impact with Clay and Buck.
Bernie Moreno, I'm going to figure out how to pronounce his name, but first, do you remember where you were when Princess Diana died?
I do. It's interesting because, remember, I was a Mercedes-Benz dealer. So the car that she drove in was a Mercedes-Benz. I happened to be on the Mercedes dealer board, and we spent a ton of time understanding how the accident occurred. Mercedes sent people there to the scene. It was pretty surreal. It was a crazy time.
All right. So first, again, unexpected.
So now let's talk about your run for the United States Senate.
Well, let's first figure out how to pronounce your name, because we've been talking and congratulating you about winning the Republican primary in Ohio. We encourage everybody out there listening to make sure they go vote for you in Ohio. But from the man himself, how should we be pronouncing your name?
It's Bernie Moreno, unless you speak Spanish. But if you don't speak Spanish, it's just Bernie Moreno. So imagine if Bernie Kosar and Dan Moreno got together and adopted.
It is like
baby.
I said, like Moreno. Yeah
that's
Moreno.
Easy. That's easy for me. I won't mess that up anymore. All right, Buck, you fire away. We got that solved.
So glad we've got it all squared away. First off, tell us what got you into this game, so to speak, in the first place. Why you want to run for Senate? What do you want to do? What's top of the agenda for the great state of Ohio if they elect you, which we certainly hope they will?
Well, as you know, I came from another country. I was born in South America, moved to the U.S. when I was a kid, became a citizen at the first opportunity I could, which is when I turned 18. This country's given me every opportunity in the world to succeed. I've succeeded well beyond my expectations, and I see this country heading off a cliff. I see career politicians doing very little, if nothing, about it. And so either you work and defend your country and do what you can to save it for your kids and grandkids, or you give up. And I'm absolutely never going to give up on America. So it just means that all of us have to lean in more than we probably wanted to. We have to get maybe a little bit more uncomfortable than we like, but we have to do whatever we each individually can do to fight like hell for this country, to make sure we leave it better for our kids and grandkids.
I know that you are terrifying people in the Democrat Party, because whenever I see the most unabashed and indefensible attacks, I'm like, this guy or this gal has got people rattled. And the AP put out a story, and as a guy who has a public email address, I can't believe they ran with this. They tried to accuse you of being on a sex website because somebody put your email address in. And they treated it like it was the equivalent of, you know, like a major story to try to rip you to shreds. But it sounds like what I'm starting to get the sense on is people are getting smarter. It sounds like it actually may have ended up helping you because people saw it as such an illegitimate and unfair attack.
Well, it just highlights how disgustingly dishonest the media is. I mean, they knew it was a false story. They put it out there. Journalism is dead in America for the most part. And they have no standards. This is a story that the Daily Mail refused to cover, but the Associated Press did. I mean, that should tell you everything you need to know. When the National Enquirer is embarrassed by a story that the AP puts out, you know that the world's flipped upside down. But, you know, the media is all in for Democrats. If you could imagine if I was running as a liberal Democrat, the headlines would be Hispanic immigrant Bernie Moreno with compelling life story sacrifices everything to save America. They'd have rose petals for me in major cities.
True.
Instead, I'm a Trump-backed MAGA extremist that is accused of all kinds of crazy things.
So, Bernie, we know that Ohio in recent elections gone solidly red in presidential elections, and our friend J.D. Vance would be the other senator from your great state, assuming that this election goes the way we all hope that it does. I have a feeling that Sherrod Brown, your competitor from the Democrat side, is going to do what a lot of Democrats do in purple or, you know, red-ish states, and that is pretend not so much to be a Democrat. What are some of the key differences between you and Brown on these on major issues?
Well, he votes almost 100% of the time with Joe Biden. And the Joe Biden agenda is extremely bad for working class Ohioans. That's why he's going to lose with such big margins in November. You can't be somebody who helps the working class and yet wants unlimited illegal immigration, because that drives wages down. It drives insurance costs up. It drives housing costs up, food prices up. You can't be somebody who's for the working class and shut down coal mines and natural gas operations and drilling rigs and oil refineries, because those are good, high-paying union jobs. And also, you can't be somebody who advocates for the working class when you want the very working class to subsidize people to go to college to get humanities and gender studies degrees. So this guy is a total fraud. We're going to expose him that way. He wants everybody driving an electric vehicle. Again, something that hurts working class Americans. He has a terrible track record. My point of view is very simple. After 50 years, it's time to retire the old commie, and that's what we're going to do this fall.
Tough question for you here, and I don't know if you've prepared for it. You live in Ohio. Are you a Browns or a Bengals guy? Are you a Guardians? They're always going to be the Indians to me. Or a Reds guy? Like, how do you make your allegiances known in the state of Ohio?
Well, definitely a Browns fan. You have to have some therapy to be a Browns fan. So it's part of the process. But we're going to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't know if you know that. Nick Chubb is going to be back.
I'll take the other side on that bet. I'll bet you a stake on the Browns. If the Browns, let's say, I'll give you odds. You shoot us a bet here, but I feel very confident the Browns are not going to win the Super Bowl, but I respect the enthusiasm.
Of course, every year that's what you have to say. That's what we say in Cleveland. That's what gets us through the winter. But we're going to have a great season. We had a great season last year.
We just
had a lot of injuries, but we got a great new coach. The ownership is committed to make certain that we win. So absolutely a diehard Browns fan.
Turning back to politics for a second, I'm just curious.
That's the most important question in Ohio, by the way.
What are you thinking when you see that the House is passing a $1 trillion spending bill, and it feels like a lot of people right now on the Republican side of things are frustrated with just business as usual? The spending certainly feels pretty uniparty, Bernie.
Yeah, the challenge is we don't control the levers of government that allow us to really do much different. We don't really negotiate very well. We're afraid of our own shadow. So what we have to do is we have to get the White House back. We have to win the Senate. We'll keep the House. And when we do, we're going to actually do the things that we campaign on. It's very hard for the House, because whatever they do that's a conservative budget is going to get nuked in the Senate, and Biden will never sign it. The reality is, the Democrats want to take this country off a cliff. They want to keep spending unlimited money. They want to put us all dependent on the government. They want to send our money to foreign governments. They want to send money to countries that hate us, which, by the way, they'll hate us for free. So let's just take the opportunity to let them hate us for free instead of giving them money to hate us. These are the things that we got to do, is put America first. Put the interest of the United States citizens above all else. That's what's going to change next year. It's hard to do it when you have divided government, when you have Democrats that are just completely out of their minds.
You know, Clay, that's what I tell communists when they can listen on the radio. I say, you can hate me for free. Just listen to the radio, commies, you know, the more the merrier.
Hey, Bernie, you mentioned your history, coming to America 5 years old, building an incredibly successful life for you and your family in Ohio. I think the biggest lie that Democrats tell, and I think your life story will refute it, but I'm curious how you would address it, is that America is a fundamentally racist place, because people are dying to get in here legally or illegally every single day. Why do you think they sell that? And why do you think now Hispanic, Black, Asian, white people, it seems to me, are overwhelmingly rejecting that, and it's making them make the argument even harder?
Well, you know, the worst scenario in that is these white, overeducated liberals that spend too much time in Martha's Vineyard contemplating themselves. This is the greatest country on earth. This country is absolutely the beacon of freedom and liberty for the rest of the world. Those of us who came here by choice instead of being here by birth understand that. We also understand there's no other place to go if this place goes to hell. And that's why we're working so hard to fight for this country. I'll make a prediction for you, aside from the Browns one. This one is maybe a little bit more likely. President Trump and Republicans will win the Hispanic vote this year. I'm the first Hispanic elected statewide in Ohio. I'll be the first South American-born senator. And yet, of course, the person who endorsed me is accused of being a racist who hates Hispanics, which, by the way, so have I. They've said that I'm an immigrant-hating South American. And the reality is maybe I have a couple cousins that are on the bubble, but normally, no, I don't hate South Americans, obviously. And it's just propaganda from the other side. And we're gonna make a lot of inroads in the black community, too, because illegal immigration, inflation, all these things hurt minority communities more than any other community. You know, look at Martha's Vineyard. A couple dozen illegals showed up in Martha's Vineyard. They were dismissed out of there with military escorts within 24 hours. Even though, by the way, 80% of those homes are empty most of the year. It just shows you there. It's just this white liberal elitism is what's killing this country.
Bernie Moreno, everybody, running for Senate in Ohio, critical race. Bernie, what's your site?
It's BernieMarino.com. If your listeners could go and chip a few bucks into the website, it makes a big difference. My opponent is funded by the worst people in the country, and they're going to have a lot of money. So whatever you can do would be greatly appreciated.
You're listening to 24, the most important year in politics, with Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Trump is raging as he will be forced to sell off great assets, that's a quote, at fire sale prices to pay the $450 million New York fraud fine. We've got some of his Truth Social rants to get into. The Supreme Court has indefinitely blocked Texas from enforcing any immigration law. So to be clear, the government has decided, the federal government, at least in the Supreme Court, is the only arbiter of anything having to do with the border. A state is not allowed to enforce the border. I wonder if Texas may just try to call the bluff here and keep going with it. But nonetheless, we've got Letitia James making some very ominous threats about what's going to happen in Trump world. We have Peter Navarro. Former, you ever interview or meet him, Clay? I've interviewed him.
Did we
few
have
times.
Him on the show ever? I can't remember.
Yeah, we did once. Yeah, yes. I back in the Trump era when he was president, I remember interviewing Peter a few times on trade stuff. Peter Navarro, everybody, is an ex White House aide who is turning himself into federal prison today. Federal prison for Peter Navarro for refusing to comply with the House Select Committee show trial over January 6th, very, very rare for someone to be sent to prison for contempt of Congress. But that is what is going on here. So they're breaking rules. They're breaking norms all over the place. Also, Donald Trump has sued George Stephanopoulos and ABC News for alleged defamation. We could assess that, but, you know, Trump's got other legal things we're going to get into here. Clay, let's start with this. I want to give everyone a couple of Trump's Truth Social posts here because he's up against a deadline right now. On Monday, Letitia James, the New York State Attorney General, can start seizing assets for the judgment, for an unpaid court judgment in the state of New York. Here's what Trump is saying about it. And then, Clay, you tell me where you think this is going. The corrupt political hacks in New York, judge and AG, are asking me to put up massive amounts of money before I'm allowed to appeal the ridiculous decision. Never done before. No jury, no victim. Full disclaimer clause. Happy banks. Election interference, all caps. Witch hunt, all caps. Clay, all of that is true, but I don't know how Trump manages to get around this. I'm trying to look at what are his options? What are the places he can go to get out of this maze?
So we talked about this a few weeks ago and kind of laid it out that even billionaires do not typically have large amounts of cash because it isn't very efficient to be sitting on piles of cash. You want your money to be working for you. And so I said that I thought Trump was probably going to have a great deal of difficulty coming up with this $450 million plus the $100 million or some such that he also had to put down. It appears that Trump has somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe a couple of $100 million in somewhat liquid assets. And that is what they used to put a bond down on the E. Jean Carroll case. Now he's got to put forward $450-some-odd million as a bond payment to appeal the verdict against his businesses, and he doesn't have that cash. And we have talked on this program. I have a small pinprick of the real estate assets that Donald Trump would have. But, Buck, I have seen, for instance, I own a part of nearly 20 acres of commercial real estate in the vicinity of Franklin, Tennessee. And I'm a part of a group there. And we went to go refi, and the bank just refused to refi, so we had to buy it out completely. And I don't know if I talked about this on the show, but that is emblematic of what's going on right now with many different commercial real estate assets all over the country. Banks are terrified of getting caught in this interest rate rise, and so they're not willing to refi right now.
Well, Clay, but it's much worse than that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not that the banks were afraid to do something for you because you are Hitler and about to end the republic.
Correct.
And this is the part of it that I've said for a long time on radio that you don't have to burn down all the villages. You only have to burn down one, and the rest of the villagers often get the idea. And with Trump, they are sending a message, not just politically to anybody who would support Trump, but also financially. All these buildings that people are looking at and saying, well, it's worth $500 million, you know, 40 Wall Street, it's worth however hundreds of millions, and Trump Tower and these different properties that he owns. What percentage of the property does he own? We don't know. How many partners does he have? What kind of shareholder or partner agreement exists for it? So even if he wanted to liquidate some of these buildings, it's not clear which ones he would be able to override the others. And if he could get everyone to agree to liquidate, let's just say he did own 80% of it or 51% or whatever, and he could liquidate it, who wants to be the buyer? There's actually no incentive to be the buyer right now because the price is only going down. Trump is being forced into the situation where he's a billionaire running onto the used car lot saying, I'm not leaving here without, I'll go to prison unless I buy one of your cars. That only forces the price down, right? So
yeah,
they create a spiral of all this additional pressure. Nobody wants to do business with him. Nobody wants to be involved in bailing him out. I'm talking about that from a business perspective. And they basically serve their own interests by waiting and seeing how low some of these prices will go.
Yeah. And so it's not only that they've come after him, it's that they've happened to end up coming after him at probably the worst time to be trying to sell commercial real estate since 2008. So even if he wanted to liquidate assets, that's why, look, Mar-a-Lago, I don't know what percentage of Mar-a-Lago he owns. They valued it at $18 million. Rush's wife just sold his property in Palm Beach for what, almost $150 million, not far from Mar-a-Lago. I would think, you and I have been to Mar-a-Lago several times. I believe it's 18 acres. It's both fronting the canal there, and as well as beach access. I would think that Mar-a-Lago is probably worth $450 or $500 million right now. I don't think that's a crazy number. I don't know what percentage of it Trump owns, but this is why I said on yesterday's program, I would like to think that somebody who is worth tens of billions of dollars, who is a Trump supporter, would look at this and say, this is financial shenanigans. Let me see your assets. I'll give you a loan. I don't want you worried about this. They're coming after you entirely because of politics. Now, is somebody willing to do it? I don't know.
Well, Clay, the other part of it is he could lose on appeal. And then this
money
is gone.
Which is why the assets have to be supporting the valuation here.
Right.
Or,
but what I'm saying is, who thinks that Trump is going to pay them back at that point?
Well, that's why you have to have the asset bonded, right? Like, you have to say, at that point, okay, then I have the collateral. I'll put a valuation on Mar-a-Lago, for instance.
Well, but what I'm saying is, if a billionaire comes along and says, I'll write Trump a check for the $454 million. It's actually more, by the way. You have to put up twice the value in a bond. But let's just say that they gave Trump the liquid assets. That's if you went for a surety bond. And again, I'm not pretending like I've, this is like a specific area of the law. And this is what I've learned from reading about it, but also talking to people on the real estate side of the house. It, Clay, if he loses that money is gone, right?
Correct.
So now you're the billionaire. You gave Trump $500 million or close to it. So you're just not getting $500 million.
No, I'm saying you would have to collateralize that in some way as a loan. Now, what the valuation is of Mar-a-Lago or something else, like, I'm not just giving somebody $450 million without a collateralized, asset attached to it.
Yeah, I mean, good luck trying to enforce that one. I mean, I don't know. I think that's that. The problem here is, what's the incentive structure for somebody else to step in and do it? I mean, it would have to be somebody who has so much money who says, For the good of the country. And what I'm saying is, it's not a good investment, right? I mean, we agree there.
You would not do it because you're like, oh my God, this is a must have. Like, you're doing it because you think Trump's getting screwed,
exactly,
and you want to provide support to him.
Usually a bond, even if a bank did this or a surety bond, they take a percentage. There's like a fee structure involved. I mean, this is a business transaction of some sort. And that's, you're talking about the collateralized sense. For a white knight to come along and write the check, you know, you may not see that money ever again, or at least for 5 years or 10 years or whatever it may be. And who knows at that point, right?
So, yeah. And also, by the way, how many people want to put themselves then in the firing line? This is what to your point, the Barna Village, they want to come after you. If you do it, they're going to look at your finances and be like, yeah, why are you doing this? What's your relationship with Trump? What's your relationship with New York?
Usually, and this is true whether you're dealing with, you know, the IRS or you're dealing with, civil court judgment. Usually the government wants to figure out a way. They want to get their check. You know, once you've been found to be in breach of something, right? They want to get their check. They want an agreement. They want to move on. They want to do something else. Usually. In this case, because it's Trump, the incentives are all haywire. The incentives are all amiss, because for Letitia James, the slower and more destructive this process is, the better for her. You know, the more they grind this out, the more they, you know, every,
she's running for governor, baby. Like, this is all a play politically for her. She wins in the state of New York.
And everyone keeps coming out. I see this a lot on X, on Twitter. We just call it Twitter again. I don't want to keep saying X.
It's Twitter for purposes of this show.
Yeah, it's Twitter. Fine. Thank you. So everyone keeps coming out and they're saying, oh, well, he'll appeal. This is like saying you're stuck in the Soviet Union. You're going to appeal. New York is now the Soviet Union as far as Trump is concerned. There is nowhere else to go. There's nothing else unless he can get the Supreme Court to come in. And there would have to be some issue of constitutionality. New York is a poorly run state with lunatic communists on the judiciary. That is not a constitutional issue. I hate to break it up, like, not really. Not that the Supreme Court's going to step in on.
Buck, this is why I said, if you have the ability to get your assets out of blue states, if you have any kind of conservative principle at all, I'd be nervous. I bet you would, too, if you still lived in New York City, that they're going to find something because they don't like your politics. If Trump lived in Florida legitimately for the last 30 years and based his corporations there, they wouldn't be able to do this. This is because he's a Republican who happens to live in New York. And I would say, if you have the opportunity, get out of there while you can.
This is why, you know, Judge Cannon, I believe, down in Florida, she's calling them to task a little bit on, oh, this stuff is, I want to talk about this a little bit, Clay. This stuff is so super secret. She's saying, okay, if it's so super secret that you need to lock this guy up in prison for the rest of his life, a jury has to, we're not going to take your word for it.
Yeah.
This is about the special counsel, right? This is so interesting. That's the Florida process. That's what happens when you're outside of a Democrat fiefdom. In Florida, I'm not saying it's going perfectly for him, but notice they had to get an outside prosecutor to bring it in that jurisdiction. But by bringing it in that jurisdiction, you at least get a judge who exists outside the New York political or D.C. political ecosystem. And sure enough, they're running into all these challenges already. They don't have some judge who's rubber stamping everything, right? In New York, on the civil side, I mean, Clay, it's just a tyranny factory. They're just, all these judges are going to keep agreeing with each other and keep going. I don't know how Trump gets out of this, but then again, he's Trump, and somehow he's managed to get out of everything else, and somehow he's ahead in the polls in every swing state. And I mean, it's a crazy world we're living in right now, everyone. Let's just be honest about it. And We're here with you every step of the way. We'll get into some of this, take some of your calls. If you have any experience, we're into some of this. If you have any experience in civil asset forfeiture on the legal side, either as a, I mean, this is real.
And by the way, massive civil asset, because we're not talking about somebody who is, you know, unable to handle $100,000 debt. That's the kind of thing that most of the time this will be involved in. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. It's very rare that cases of this magnitude would even exist. The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
On this program, Clay and I are here to help you cut through the noise, the ulterior motives, to uncover the truths that no one else is going to tell you. That's what our colleague Mark Chaykin does, but for the U.S. stock market. Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years. Across those decades, he invented 3 new indices for the NASDAQ and has predicted some of the biggest market shifts of the past decade, including the recent mania in AI stocks. Mark says the majority of Americans are... Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug-out plan. 2, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And 3, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
You're listening to 24, the most important year in politics, with Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
We're joined now by Mark Robinson. He is the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, and he's a candidate for the governorship of the great state of North Carolina. Mark, appreciate you joining us, sir.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Could we get you to weigh in first? And obviously, North Carolina is an incredibly important state in this upcoming election, in a range of ways. Democrats still think that they can make some inroads there, I think. But we're hoping you're going to be part of a North Carolina red wave. Before we get to that, though, when you see what's going on at the southern border and the Biden administration response to efforts by Texas to try to help, what do you make of that?
Well, everything that Joe Biden's administration has done has been counterintuitive to keeping the border. First off, securing the border, and secondly, keeping the American populace safe. He's done an abysmal job since he's been in office, and unfortunately, this is a wretched crown jewel in his bad administration. He's just, everything that he's done has been counterintuitive to it, and he needs to reverse course quickly for the safety and security of the American people.
Mark, when we saw, first of all, thanks for coming on. Good luck in the campaign. We'll probably have you on again, certainly before Election Day. But when we saw how you were getting attacked, we said, man, this guy's over the target.
He's got to be great.
We need to let him talk to our audience. But I wanted to hear from you. Why do you think you have become the main target that you have, getting ripped to shreds by the left. And what kind of response are you seeing from North Carolinians to those attacks?
The overwhelming majority of our response has been positive. People are reaching out to us every day, and not just Republicans, Democrats as well, who are tired of the status quo. They're tired of the children being in failing public schools. They're tired of these social issues being forced on them in their homes and in their schools and in their churches. They're tired of folks who want to try to destroy our economy and try to let our border be wide open and let law and order be destroyed. They're tired of it, and they're ready for a change, and they're ready for somebody who's going to stand up, say the things that need to be said, be unafraid to make the changes that need to be made, and move North Carolina in the right direction.
If you're the governor of North Carolina, Mark, and God willing, that's where this is heading, what are the biggest changes or the biggest policy decisions that you plan on making for your home state?
The biggest things we're going to focus on is our economy and our education system. North Carolina has been on a great run since 2010. We had a Republican takeover in 2010. Before that, we've been Democrat-controlled for decades. But we had Republicans took over in 2010. When they took over, we were about $3.4 billion in debt to the federal government. We were furloughing state workers. I mean, we were in a shambles with our economy. Those Republicans got to work and fixed our economy, and now we're not only not in debt, but we have a $5 billion surplus, and we're the number one business destination 2 years running in the country. And so we're poised to really start growing our economy, and that's going to be our focus as governor, to grow our economy, as I say, from Murphy to Manio, Murphy being the furthest western point, Manio being the furthest eastern point in the state. We want an economy that spans all the way across North Carolina and works for everybody, and that's going to be our goal. Education, what we want to bring back, we want to drive agendas out of the classroom, and we want to bring excellence back into the classroom. Everybody in this, we all hear this thing about DEI. Our version of DEI is going to be not diversity, equity, inclusion, but discipline, excellence, and intelligence. That's going to be our version of DEI, because that's what we want in education. We don't simply want a sound basic education here in North Carolina. We want our K-12 students to get a world-class education, because that's what they're going to need to compete on the world stage, and that's what we want to do here in North Carolina.
Mark, I don't know if you've seen this, and we're talking to Mark Robinson, who is the Republican candidate for governor in North Carolina. The data's out that people under the age of 30 are overwhelmingly unhappy in America. I'm sure you see this all over North Carolina, talking to young people. Why do you think that is? And you mentioned education, but how do we fix it?
I think we fix it by getting back to the things that we're all concerned about and joining together to fix those things, quite frankly. In politics, we allow about three or four different issues to divide us on everything. Look, I can't think of a single solitary person that doesn't want a great education system or great economy or to be safe in their neighborhoods. Not a single solitary person can I think of who is of good character that wants that. The problem is we allow so many things to divide us. It's time for us to start putting aside the things that we disagree on long enough to work on the things that we do agree on. And I think when we start doing that, and I think when our so-called leaders, our public elected officials, start doing that in earnest, I think that we'll see some happiness and some cooperation start to come back in this country.
Mark Robinson, everybody, Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina. He is running for governor in North Carolina. His website in that endeavor is markrobinson4nc.com. Clay's got one more for you, Mark. Go ahead.
Okay, I got the toughest question for you, and I don't want you to dodge it. Duke, sure. UNC, NC State are all big schools in the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
Who is going farthest? Who is your team? North Carolina is known for basketball.
Well, North Carolina is known for basketball. We love Tar Heel fans. We love Duke fans. We love all our fans here in North Carolina, from Appalachian all the way across. But my team is NC State, and I'm really rooting for the Wolfpack to go deep, if not win it all. They did a great job in the ACC tournament, winning five straight, and it was absolutely outstanding. I love to see them go deep, and I love to see them win it all.
What did you think of that three that y'all hit, I think, to beat or put it into overtime against Virginia? How high did you leap? What's the vertical look like? I know you're not a young man anymore, but can you still get up?
Well, you know, I have to admit, I was actually I was actually engaged at the time and was not able to see the game. But when I saw it at Ball Batch Age with Jim Valvano, it really did. And like I said, I'm sure all Wolfpack fans probably felt like that.
I know I said last question, but Buck and I have been talking a lot about the 2024 election, the outreach for black male voters in particular. You're obviously a black guy running for governor of North Carolina. Do you see and hear a lot of black male voters that are way more open to Republican arguments than they may have been in the past? And if so, if you buy into that, why do you think it is?
Well, again, it's because people are tired of the status quo. You know, the Democratic Party has just simply taken its mask off. When you have a president who's willing to allow the border to stay open and allow us to be in peril that way, when you see a president who's not interested in maintaining law and order in our cities and is not interested in allowing America to drill for its own oil and have gas prices as high as they are and drive inflation through the roof, everybody is tired of the status quo right now, and they see that we were much better off under President Trump and Republicans than we are under President Biden. They see that here in North Carolina. They see it everywhere, and people of all stripes are seeing it. And I believe that black folks are going to be the same way. They're tired of the status quo, and they want something different, and they want something better, and I think they're going to choose me.
The next governor of North Carolina, everybody, Mark Robinson. Mark, when you win, you got to come on and celebrate with us, okay?
You got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House.
Take a listen.
Are there any moments or spots on any of the sets we worked on over the 7 years that you guys felt more at home, that were like your little spots on the set you like to hang out?
I'm afraid it was the sink.
Oh, really? Yes.
Oh, yeah. You had to act by the sink a lot.
Yeah. I was behind the counter.
Yeah.
Right. Doing business constantly.
Uh-huh.
Mom stuff.
Uh-huh. Disciplining you in some way.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
If you've got a military, first responder, emergency medical, or government service background, GovX.com is for you. You stepped up to serve our country and communities, and GovX delivers unbeatable deals that you've earned.
GovX.com is the only site built exclusively to honor your service. Members save on epic brands and the gear they need for their on and off duty lives. You'll get incredible savings on tickets to live sports events, theme parks, and other entertainment. You can even save on travel, hotels, rental cars, cruises, and more. See if you qualify. Visit GovX.com. It's easy and totally free. Use code CLAY in the shopping cart to get an extra $15 off your first order. GovX, savings for those who serve.